Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the seventh Sunday of Easter, 2008. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. After Jesus had been taken up to heaven, the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath's day journey away. When they entered the city, they went to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All of these devoted themselves with one accord to prayer, together with some women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I believe that I shall see the good things of the Lord in the land of the living. I believe that I shall see the good things of the Lord in the land of the living. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is my life's refuge. Of whom should I be afraid? I believe that I shall see the good things of the Lord in the land of the living. One thing I ask of the Lord, this I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may gaze on the loveliness of the Lord and contemplate his temple. I believe that I shall see the good things of the Lord in the land of the living. Hear, O Lord, the sound of my call. Have pity on me and answer me. Of you my heart speaks, you my glance seeks. I believe that I shall see the good things of the Lord in the land of the living. A reading from the first letter of Peter. Beloved, rejoice to the extent that you share in the sufferings of Christ, so that when his glory is revealed, you may also rejoice exultantly. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let no one among you be made to suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as an intriguer. But whoever is made to suffer as a Christian should not be ashamed, but glorify God because of the name. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus raised his eyes to the heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son, so that your Son may glorify you, just as you gave him authority over all people, so that your Son may give eternal life to all you gave him. Now, this is eternal life, that they should know you, the only true God, and the one whom you sent, Jesus Christ. I glorified you on earth by accomplishing the work that you gave me to do. Now glorify me, Father, with you, with the glory that I had with you before the world began. I revealed your name to those whom you gave me out of the world. They belong to you, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you gave me is from you, because the words you gave to me I have given to them, and they accepted them, and truly understood that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for the ones you have given me, because they are yours, and everything of mine is yours, and everything of yours is mine, and I have been glorified in them, and now I will no longer be in the world, but they are in the world while I am coming to you. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Brian, and as you may have guessed, I'm alone today in the studio. Unfortunately, I was unable to reach Dawn, and of course, I couldn't find anybody else to join me on the podcast today. So you're stuck with me. Hopefully, my voice won't dull you too much as we delve into these scripture readings, and hopefully I'll be able to give you a few thoughts to provoke you as you prepare to go to Mass, or give you something to think about at least, if not provoke some thought. The first reading to begin with, I wanted to start with that because one of the things I first noticed the first time I read it was it just seemed like this long litany of names. We have the names of basically all the apostles minus Judas, who by this time had been out of the picture. And then, of course, we talk that they're meeting with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. But what can be lost in that is one sentence that breaks up some of that list or that monotony of the list of names, and that's, all of these devoted themselves with one accord to prayer. And I think that's an important message right in there, because it really talks about the need for community in prayer and, of course, the need to be one as well. And ultimately, what we're really talking about here is the church. You see, one of the things that happened, of course, after the death and resurrection of Jesus was the apostles began to gather and became one body. And of course, we talk about it as being one body in Christ. And that's, of course, the same definition we use for the church, is the church is the mystical body of Christ. Another name that we use for the church is the people of God. But both of those names need to be held in tension. It's not an either or thing, but it's a both and thing. And this being one in prayer is found right there in Scripture. A lot of times people will ask, what is our scriptural warrant for forming the church? Why is it that it's not just me and God? And especially in our society today, you hear that all the time, that it's just me and God. That's all you really need. You don't need church. You don't need anything else. Well, right there in Scripture, it says we need to be in this together. We need to be a single body united not only with me and God, but me and other people. So there's a vertical dimension, which we call the me and God dimension, and then a horizontal dimension, which is me and other people. And we all need to be in this mission together. So I think that's real important, because it gives us some foundation of the church right there. And of course, you know, a lot of people wonder where the Catholic Church comes from. You get all these kind of myths and stories, but really, one of the things we say as the Catholic Church is that we can trace our roots all the way back to the apostles and ultimately to Jesus Christ himself. And so we are this original church that formed. And one of the nice things is we are one accord and we've never really changed. A lot of times other groups have splintered off from us, which is a big scandal of Christianity, because some of you might remember elsewhere in John's gospel, Jesus prays, "Let them be one, Father, like you and I are one." And so there is this sense where Christ does want us to be one single body. And of course, as the church, we believe that we are that one body in prayer. And unfortunately, the scandal of Christianity is that sometimes we haven't been one body and other churches have splintered off because of disagreements over different theological issues and things. But one thing that we can be assured of as the Catholic Church is we are the same church that connects itself all the way to the apostles and has not broken that line of succession. And of course, the apostles guarantee us that we have that one true faith of the church. And that's what we believe was given to us by the Holy Spirit, is that sense that we will always be faithful to that apostolic mission, that the apostolic teachings of the church, so the teaching of the apostles. Then, of course, in the second reading, we have this, really this exhortation to not be upset when we suffer for the name of Christ, and actually to be willing to suffer for the name of Christ. Now, it did say that suffering alone isn't necessarily a value. He's not saying, you know, don't suffer as a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer. And of course, in some sense, he's saying there is some justice in the suffering that comes with our own sins. So if we are a murderer or a thief or anything like that, there's always some sense of suffering that comes with it. And that is sort of a justified suffering in some ways. We can understand that as human beings. But if you have to suffer for the name of Christ, he said, or to be called a Christian, don't be ashamed of being called a Christian. Don't be afraid of the suffering, because that's how we're going to be glorified. We're glorified because we stand as witnesses to the name of Jesus Christ. And that's an important thing to remember. A lot of times we seem to think in our society that our Christianity or Catholicism should really only affect us on Sundays and not the rest of the days of our lives, because a lot of times that's where it becomes most inconvenient for us. And that's where we are forced to suffer. And what we're told here by St. Peter is we should be willing to suffer for the name of Christian. There are other things we shouldn't be willing to suffer for. You know, don't suffer as a murderer or something like that, because you've taken that name for yourself. But if you choose the name Christian for yourself, be proud of that and be willing to suffer. Don't be ashamed of that. And then, of course, in the gospel reading today, we're really getting a preparation for what's coming up next week, which will be Pentecost. And we're really where the Holy Spirit comes down on the apostles. And what Jesus is really preparing us for in the reading in the gospel this week is his eventual ascension into heaven. So he will be ascending up into heaven and leaving the apostles behind. And ultimately, that raises a lot of questions, I think, because people say, well, why wouldn't Jesus just stay down here? Why does he need to go up to heaven? Wouldn't it have been more convenient if he stayed here? Then all of us today would still be able to be around and talk to him, and no one would doubt that he's Lord or Messiah or anything like that. And of course, part of the reason that we learn elsewhere in the gospel is Jesus does go to the Father. One of his reasonings, he said, is, I'm going to the Father, and I'm going to go prepare a place for you in heaven. So in some sense, we should rejoice in the fact that he'll take a place in heaven. The other thing, though, we have to remember is Jesus has a human body. And by ascending into heaven, what he does is he makes possible our salvation, because now humanity, his human body, has been united with the Godhead. So as he goes and unites his human body with the Father, we realize that now humanity has reached the fullness of its redemption. Our bodies, our corruptible bodies, now have the ability to enter into that intimate life with God, because God has taken it right into him, his own self. He's taken not only on the flesh by becoming human in Jesus, but now that flesh has become united with the divinity in the inner life of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus doesn't just return as a spiritual being, but he returns with a body, meaning that humanity can now enter into that divine life. And what a grace that is when you really think about it. That's what makes our entire salvation possible. So ultimately, you know, while Christ definitely needed to die and come back and be resurrected, it's the ascension that really makes intimate union with God possible. So we can't leave that dimension out and say, well, why didn't he just stay here and, you know, hang out with us, so to speak? Because he needed to return to the Father so that we too can return to the Father. And then he does talk a little bit about the fact that we belong to him. And I think that's an important thing too, is that there is a way for us to belong to Jesus Christ, and we need to find out, how is it that I can become one of Christ's people? How do I belong to Christ? And of course, as Catholics, one of the greatest ways that we have is through the church itself. In our baptism, we become members of the body of Christ. We say that, it's said in Scripture, actually, so we agree with this, where we say that we die and rise with Christ in our baptism. That's that whole image of going into the water is into the death, entering into death with Christ, and then coming out of the water is rising as a new creation. But not only that, the church is one of the fruits of Christ's sacrifice. So in other words, when I say that, what I'm saying is that when Christ died for us, one of the things that he left behind was the church. The apostles understood this message that they needed to go out and tell people the good news. That was the mission that Jesus gave to them. And a lot of times we get this image kind of backwards, because we tend to think that the church has a mission to carry out. But if you really think about it, what we learn is that the mission that Christ gave to his apostles has a church to help that mission be carried out. So it's not that the church has a mission, but the mission has a church. And that's something Cardinal George, the Archbishop of Chicago, is always talking about, is that this church doesn't have a mission. The mission has the church. So the church is an instrument in which the work of Christ is carried on even until today. And that's in a very powerful image when we think about that. And then, of course, the church has the sacraments at its disposal. And it's got seven sacraments, which are ways in which Christ makes himself present in our very lives. And the most powerful one, I think, is the Eucharist, of course, in which we take the very flesh of Christ. It's not a symbol, but it actually is the body and blood of Christ. And we take that into our own very beings. So just as we talked about God taking humanity into his own being, humanity is able to take God into its own being. And that's what the Eucharist is really all about. And when we really think about that, this is a very intimate way in which we can become attached to Jesus Christ and, of course, to God and join him in his saving work. So anyways, I hope these are some good thoughts that you can mull over the next few days and bring with you as you go to Mass and begin to hear these scriptures read at Mass. And hopefully you'll receive the Eucharist and really have that sense of being united with Christ, and also understand that when Christ is talking about the ascension, that he is now making it possible for us to be united with God. And of course, I hope you'll join us next week, and I hope Dawn will be back as well on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.